Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening. We were talking, so I missed my whole intro. But we're here, and I have here live in the studio with me my tech guy, Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone.
And then I have, my producer, none other than Derek. Say hello, Derek.
You want Derek or Josh?
Is this Josh?
Yeah, it's Josh.
Oh, okay. Well, I have Josh. And
That's better than Derek, right?
Well, is that better than Derek or not, Josh?
I think so.
All right. And then way out yonder in Texas, we have none other than the legendary statesman, John McTiernan. John McTiernan? Are you there, McTiernan?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Where have you been?
Yeah, I went dead. The sound went dead on me here.
Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, folks, it's one of those nights, and I am their humble hero and host, Pastor Ernie Sanders.
All right. It's true, Pastor Ernie. You're my hero.
So we got that done. Okay. And so we have a lot to do. Josh, last night we had I had a clip I wanted to play. And maybe you could get that for the 11 o'clock hour because we had a ball game, so we didn't get up on time. So maybe you could bring that up with me. Bring that clip up. That would be the one with. Where did that clip go? Okay. Hang it. I got it here somewhere. Okay. Where'd the clip go? That's not it. Okay, here it is. The Newsmax clip with James Comer on the Biden, and that comes at 11. Coming out at 11. Okay. Also, at the 10:30 break, we have tonight the Quaker and the Cow. The Quaker and the Cow. And then at the 11:30, Josh, we've got Reagan on the Bible. Reagan on the Bible. And so there you go. We got that done, right? It's late, but we got it, didn't we?
Finally, yeah.
You know why? Because it's a dumb old ball game, right? I like football, but when we haven't been delayed, and that's good because whenever we get delayed because of a ball game, the women yell at me. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, they do it. Yeah. Anyhow, so here now, what we're going to do is we're going to go into our Bible study. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. In the Bible study, the title of the message was, "You Do Err Not Knowing the Scriptures or the Power of God." And that was out of Matthew chapter 22. Now, tonight we're going to pick it up. We're going to finish that message in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 21 through 33. Okay, and so, are you there, John?
I'm here, Pastor Ernie. I'm in 1 Chronicles 16.
21 through 33. All righty, so.
I'm ready to go.
All righty. You read verses 21 through 28, and then you pick it up, Ron, with 29 through 33.
Okay, 1 Chronicles 16, starting at verse 21. "And he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength.
Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth, the world shall also be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men saith among nations, The Lord reigneth."
Yeah, two more.
Oh. "Let the sea roar, and let the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth."
Okay, so now, "He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yeah, he reproved kings for their sake." Do you know who he was talking specifically of? He was talking specifically about Abraham and Sarah and their people. So, this is a psalm of King David, a song of praise. And he was saying, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Now, the very first one that was mentioned as a prophet in the Bible was Abraham. The very first time that word prophet was used was to describe Abraham in Genesis 27. So, here now, he's speaking specifically, it's a warning to Abimelech. Abimelech was the king of Egypt there, and it's a warning to him. First of all, he saw Sarah. Do you remember, John, what the situation was with him when Abraham feared that people would, because Sarah's beauty, she was so beautiful that somebody would want to, they would try and kill him and take her as a wife. And so he told the king that she was his sister, but he wasn't lying because literally they had the same father, but two different mothers had, right? So she literally was his half sister. Okay. And so, but then the Lord came and told, because Abimelech wanted to take Sarah and lie with her. And the Lord told Abimelech, you better not do that. Okay. And if God tells you not to do something, John, what do you do?
You do exactly what God says, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, because he's got a way of getting his way, huh?
Yeah, now, that story that you're relating from the Scriptures, it was always interesting to me, because how did that king, the pagan king, how did he hear the Lord to obey him, we'll say?
Well, the Lord spoke to him Listen, when there's times when no matter who you are, if God's speaking to you, you know who he is. Okay, remember Nebuchadnezzar?
Oh, sure.
Remember how he stood out there in his balcony, looked over, and he said, all of this here I have built, this kingdom I have made. And God was listening, wasn't he?
Yeah, he sure was, Pastor.
And he asked him, he told him, he said, what do you know about eating grass, right? And you say, this is yours. You made all of this, okay? You did all of this? No, you didn't do all of this. And so God made it very, now he was a pagan. He was a pagan, but he certainly heard what God said, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm just curious about it. I mean, I don't think we'll ever know. I mean, did the Lord appear before him and speak to him? I mean, was it...
No, he probably came to him in a dream. That's the normal thing that he did, yeah.
Yeah, that probably... You know, well, that's what he did with Nebuchadnezzar, too.
Yeah.
Is this where he basically put curses on the king with boils and whatnot to the point where the king said, enough is enough,
no,
take Sarah back?
No, he didn't. He didn't do that. He just, what he did is he gave him a warning. And here, where it says here, where David is saying, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." That actually was a warning to Abimelech, because Abimelech was so angry because Abimelech told Abraham, "Why did you do that? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? You could have got me killed. God was going to kill me because of what you did." So now God, the Lord has let Abimelech know, because he was pretty angry at Abraham, okay, at this point, because Abraham almost cost him his life. So the warning went to Abimelech saying, don't touch my anointed. Don't touch my anointed. Now, that applies, actually, in fact, what happened, it would have brought a total curse on all. In fact, it did bring a curse on the land there, but it could have been a major curse, okay? But here, the way we apply that today, here, I'm seeing something in regards to Donald Trump, and I really have to actually compare it in my own life, and over the years, John, and you know this, I've had a number of people, John, that have come against me, you know, because of this ministry.
Oh, yes, Pastor Ernie. Yes, you have.
And people that betrayed me, some of those that were sent in purposely, like they did with Donald Trump, to destroy the ministry. And in every single case, God dealt with them. God dealt with them. Even before, I had one fellow call me and tell me that God had shut his mouth. He lost everything because he listened to his apostate pastor. His apostate pastor told him to wait until he had the time, and then to betray us in the ministry to build up the trust. And when that happened, he headed up an organization, and every single member of quit on that very day when he did this. So he went back to the apostate pastor, and the apostate pastor told him, I don't even know what you're talking about. In other words, instead of defending him for doing, and of course that's what an apostate will do. But then you see situations where, remember when they came after me for singing Lake of Fire to the witches at Planned Predators, Planned Parenthood. When I sang, I got out and I sang Witch of Lake of Fire, don't fall into the burning lake of fire. Well, the witches called the police. They called the prosecutor and said I was terrified. They were terrified because of the song, okay? And so they came out and they charged me with trespassing, which I didn't, wasn't trespassing, and they charged me with terrifying witches, okay? And so, anyhow... I went into court, but here's the funny thing about this, John. The two cops they sent out there, after they wrote me a ticket and summons the court, then they asked me if they could get a CD. I said, what? They said, look, we our department loves your songs. We listen to you all the time. And I said, you just give me a ticket here. You just give me a, I have to appear in court now and I have to pay a fine. And you're asking me for one of my CDs. And they said, well, you know, if you don't mind. I said, you guys, that took a lot of guts, right?
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, but here's the thing. The judge that fined me and the prosecutor that prosecuted me, right after that, after they did that, they ended up both going to prison because they were running, they got caught running a whorehouse and laundering money and drugs and in his apartment buildings. So, you know, they, right away, the Lord dealt with them. Okay, and I've had this happen time and time again where the Lord has dealt with people that have betrayed me, okay?
And so, well, you see, Pastor Ernie, in that case, you're the Lord's anointed. The Lord has anointed you to do a certain task, and that task was pro-life and the radio show and preach the truth and all, but there was an anointing on you to do it, and those that came against that anointing suffered greatly.
Well, it's the same thing with you. Remember their Planned Parenthood, how they came after you in York? And remember how you sued. You went after the entire police department. Everybody was on the take, but the judge recused himself because he said he was getting money from Planned Parenthood too. And so here, but you ended up beating them, taking them to court, and you managed to get it out of there. And get it in another court, and you took it, and you sued him, and you beat him. And so we've seen this happen.
It was ironic. Yeah. Two things. Can I just share something? Because you brought that up. Can I share two things?
Yeah.
Number one was the Court of Appeals. I won in the Court of Appeals, the Federal Court of Appeals, and there was an extremely liberal judge. The governor's wife, it was Ed Randell's wife. Her last name was Randell. I don't remember her first name. And she wrote this incredible this judgment decision for me, 67 pages of absolute. In fact, it turned out to be law for that appeals court in that area, like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, I think Virginia. So to this day, that case, the Lord used that to be law. They can't do what they did to me ever again. It's in law where all you got to do is apply that and the it'll be heavily fined. And then when we did go, I went before a court, a federal court in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to find out what size judgment we were going to get. What York would agree to, who's there but a former United States attorney that I used to work with. He retired and became a judge. And so I was on a first-name basis with him in the court, and he said, no, there's no conflict of interest because I'm just an intermediary here between you and the city of York. So my attorney, it blew his mind, Pastor Ernie. Well, I was, on a first name basis with a federal judge. So the Lord, everything went my way there once this thing got going in the judicial system. Very rare to have a liberal judge write a decision like she did in my case. So
well,
right now, it's law, and you'll see it. It's McTernan versus the city of York.
Well, you had the anointing on you, the Lord's anointing. I had a situation where three times they tried to bring RICO charges against me, and this a lawyer who owned the buildings that housed the abortion mills, he tried to bring a RICO case against me, and the case was thrown out of court, and then he lost his license, and they went after him because he was involved in some illegal activities right after that, and then they pulled his law. He lost his license. He had to move here, and he moved out of Ohio, went to New York. And so, anyhow, I mean,
anybody that comes against you better be squeaky clean, Pastor Ernie.
Well, it's the thing of it is it's not anything I'm doing because, you know, again, this is, I wanted to make the analogy here with Donald Trump. Here, the more they come against Trump here, the higher he goes up in the polls, okay? Here you see what's, and also, I look for this very, very, very extremely, completely wicked judge in D.C., the one that has been sentencing the Patriots, especially the Proud Boys. I look for that, and that bird, that dirty cop in D.C., that one that shot that lady in the face, killed her, murdered her.
Asia, yeah. That guy, he was a lieutenant. They just made him a captain. They promoted him to captain.
That's what happens amongst the dirty. Okay, so here, I've got an article, in fact. It's U.S. Capitol Police Inspector Thomas Lloyd Jr., who ordered the initial command for the cops to spray lethal munitions during the Capitol riot, completely fabricated a narrative about protesters waging a terror attack against police to District Federal Judge Timothy Kelly in federal court. This took place before this week's sentencing of hearing for the Proud Boys, Joe Biggs, Nathan Nordine, Zach Ryle, Dominic Pozzola, and Enrico Tario, in an effort to persuade Judge Kelly to add terror enhancement to the defendant's sentences. Lloyd, along U.S. Capitol Police Officer Shea Cooney, Mark Ode, broke down in tears, claiming they were traumatized victims of an insurrection that was planned and orchestrated by the former Proud Boy leader, who was found guilty of seditious conspiracy. Would you do this? Would you pray in a precatory prayer against this Thomas Lloyd? Would you pray in a precatory prayer against this Thomas Lloyd, that bird, that Captain Bird now, and this judge, Judge Kelly, would you pray that God would deal with them like Paul prayed that he would turn them over to the devil so that the devil could have their flesh, that their souls, you know, might be saved? Would you pray a precatory prayer that the Lord would turn them over to the devil to bring them to repentance, John?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we bring before you this Captain Boyd and this Judge Kelly, Lord. The system is corrupt, totally corrupt. You know exactly how it is, Lord. They're accountable to no one. Of course, you are there to be the final judge. So, Lord, it seems that man's justice, they're above man's justice, and the one man, you hate the shedding of innocent blood, and that Captain Bird shot and killed that woman, Lord, unarmed. No reason. He's been protected. He's been promoted. We're asking that you deal with him, Lord. You deal with him. You, in your righteousness, you would deal with him. And I pray that you would deal with him in such a way that everybody would know that it was from you. Lord, as wicked as he is, we do ask for his salvation. We ask that as you move against him for what he's done, that we also want to keep open that he could repent and turn to Christ. Now, the judge, Lord, he has to know the truth. He has to know it's been suppressed. He has to know all the lies that are involved. And yet he went ahead and sent, it's really an innocent man. And the one today, Pastor Ernie, he got 10 years. The guy got 10 years. I saw it today. And from that judge. So, Lord, I'm asking now that you love righteous judgment. And lying, judging, you know, evil like this is an abomination to you. So we ask that you deal with that judge. You take away his sleep. Lord, you deal with his, you convict him inside of the evil that he's doing. You give him no rest until he straightens this out. We want him to be a righteous judge and admit what he did was wrong and change that sentence so that they aren't sent away for 10, 15, 20 years. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. I missed that, Josh. All right. We'll be back right after this.
A Quaker man whose name I will not mention went out to milk his cow early one day. But that old cow acted like it had a demon. With its tail it slapped that Quaker in the face. And he said, "Cow, thee know that I am Quaker. And anger is a thing that's not in me. And cow, thee know that I am patient. But I could use a little help from thee. Hold thee still," he said, and slowly started milking. And things were going real good for a while. Then the cow stepped in the bucket and she spilled it. And on that old cow's face there seemed to be a smile. He said, "Cow, thee know that I am Quaker. And anger is a thing that's not in me. And cow, thee know that I am patient. But I could use a little help from thee." He looked up and said, "Thee know I've tried my best." He could see the cow through the big hole in his barn. And with a different tone of voice, the Quaker said, "Cow, thee know that I am Quaker. And anger is a thing that's not in me. Sell you to a Baptist, and they're gonna beat the devil out of thee. I believe they have a day they call homecoming, and I hope they make hamburger out of thee."
You hear that, cow? And all the, and you rhinos, don't mess with those Baptists, right?
Yep.
Okay, there you go. You know what, John, we've been in the Jug County Fair. Jug County Right to Life has been in the Jug County Fair, had a booth in there since about, I think, about 1973, okay, every year. And it's the oldest fair in Ohio. But this year, we're not there. And the reason that we're not in that fair this year, and here's the bad part: every year we have had babies saved. Every year there's been babies saved because of being in the fair. Well, this year we're not there. Now, here the reason is that we never received, okay, the paperwork that they send us that we fill out every week. We never received it. And when we called, we kind of played phone tag. And finally, I got in touch with them there at the fair, you know, because they're not there every day. And they told us that they had sent it out, and it was too late now. All the spaces were filled. Well, I don't think that they did enough to contact us and let us know. I mean, I tried. But if you're coming to the fair and you're looking for us for the booth, because every year we have probably about 100 or more people that will come just to stop by the booth and say hi and talk. But I won't be there this year. Now, if you miss us, only if you miss us, if you're one of those that wanted to stop by, or if you feel that they should have gone through whatever, they should have found a way to get the booth, the Right to Life booth in there, very important, then you need to call the Joe County Fair, and I'll give you that number. That number is 440-834-1846. That's 440-834-1846. And let them know that you miss us there, okay? And to make sure that we're there next year, because it's about babies getting saved. That's what it's about, okay? We pass out, I think about 300,000 people come through that fair, and we pass out so much pro-life literature that time of year, Joe, or John. It's just unbelievable. But this year, we won't be there, so if you feel we should be there, give them a call. And remember, you folks are Christians. So be nice, be polite. Just let them know how disappointed you are. And that number, again, is 440-834-1846. And now, John, parents. Parents didn't walk, they ran. Christian school has inspiring open. Loudoun County, Virginia has worked to establish a reputation for its leftist ideology in schools. But tell us what's going on there, John.
Well, church opened up a school, and like in one day, 500 kids were enrolled, came right out of the public school, and the parents, they were fleeing. They're looking to flee. Now, Loudoun County is, I believe that's in Northern Virginia. But what happens is, Pastor Ernie, the school boards in several of these counties in Virginia are defying the law and the governor about not talking about gender to children. They are going to do it anyways. So,
yeah, it's a lawless society.
It's completely lawless. They are completely given over to this lust, Pastor Ernie. Totally. They are filled with it. Reprobate minds. So this church opened up a school for the first time. 500, that's a good number. And the parents flooded out of that those schools to the Christian church. And apparently there are many, many, many more, but there's no room for them.
And so, that just means they need to open up some more Christian schools, huh?
Yeah, and that's sure, yeah.
Right, every right. day in this country, it's an average of about 3 Christian schools open. Of course, some closed, too. You know, some of them, I've known of a couple that have closed. But every day, because of what is happening, because people are figuring out, now that they're realizing what's happening in the public school system. And so here... this whole thing with the, in fact, there was just a program on tonight on the news again, where you have, these boys are going into, and this is in that school district, going into the girls' shower rooms and standing there. In fact, some of them going right into the girls' lockers and stripping naked and taking a shower with the girls. Okay. And so the parents are pretty getting more and more upset about this. But it's like, look, George Soros has got more money than he can spend. Now, what does the Bible call people that sell their very souls for money? refers, calls them whores, okay? So George Soros puts it out, look, I need whores for DAs. I need as many whores as we can get, and we'll make you DAs. We'll buy the office, and that's virtually, we'll buy the votes, we'll buy the office. And this is what he's done all over the country. And he's bought a bunch of whores, and he's sending these whores out after President Trump. You've got that Bragg, and you've got all these others that he's sending out. These are George Soros bought and paid for whores. And again, is that going to come back to bite him, Joe, or John?
It really is, Pastor Ernie, because the country is awakening. It's been awakening for quite a while, but there's some serious things happening, and we can see it how no matter what they do to Donald Trump, it just benefits him, and people are praying for him. So we know he didn't commit any crimes. These are political charges. This is what Stalin did to opponents. This is what the Nazis did. This is what Mao Zedong did to their opponents. So there is a lot of prayer going up for Donald Trump now for this. Really, it's criminal. What they're doing is they're bona fide criminals, Pastor.
Now, more and more, there's more and more going to come out. Biden, again, like I said, this is the first time in the history of our country where he's tried to put where a president has tried to put a political opponent in prison. And that, again, like you said, that happens in the third world countries, the communist countries. But now that's what Biden is trying to do. He said he would stop Trump at all in any means. And Hillary, again, she said if Trump gets back in, we're all going to hang. He has the Pandora Papers. He knows exactly all of that, follow the money, all of the crimes, especially where it comes to child sex trafficking. The Democratic Party is flush with pedophilia. And so Trump knows all of that. And this is why they're so afraid of him. This is why they're so scared of him, okay? We're seeing people yanking their children out of the public school system left and right. And what happens is, you're going to see they're going to implode, aren't they?
They can't implode fast enough, Pastor.
All righty. You have an article there, Ron.
Yes. Claim of climate emergency debunked by 1,600 scientists. And the opening line states that one of Joe Biden's ideologies is that there is a climate emergency. So I think ideologies is a bad word because it implies you have to have a fully functioning brain, so it should be talking points. But there's a group, they're called the Global Climate Intelligence Group, that has come out with a statement completely debunking this. There is no emergency, is what they're saying. There is climate change, but there's no emergency whatsoever. And then they cite Al Gore's book, how it was going to 2009, the Arctic would be ice-free by 2013. That never happened. And then Greta Thunberg claimed that in 2018, humanity had only 5 years to stop using fossil fuels. So this will never see the light of day in the mainstream media, but it was from WorldNet Daily.
Back in the late 70s, we did a program, and we were talking about John Ehrlich, who had the... he was out. They would drag him out. John, do you remember him, Ehrlich? They would pull him out. He was their climate expert. And remember, by the mid-80s, we were going to be in an ice age.
Yeah.
You were going to have, and the reason for that, one, acid rain. Acid rain was going to be one of them. Two, because of the disposable diapers and going into landfills and Q-tips and... And then gas put out by cows.
Yeah.
And all of this was going to throw us. We were going to be in an ice age, and they had him out there. Well, it didn't happen, did it? Okay.
Yeah. I remember I actually had to do a report on that in 1972.
And so.
Yeah, and Pastor Ernie, there was another one. Do you remember, I don't know who was behind this, but it was the population explosion, and that by, I don't know, 1990 or something, the we would come apart because of the population. And do you remember that, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, Jacques Cousteau was one of them.
Him, but
no,
yeah,
no, he was one of those. He was the one that said that there's not a problem to control the population and for the food supply, because people are a great source of protein. And if we've learned anything from nature in the wild, the strong eat the weak. And if we could do that as they do in the wild, we would not have a population program, and we would not have a hunger program that would cure all the hunger. But he was a part of that going back, and that was the Margaret Sanger group, the Bill Gates and that group, that the depopulation.
Right, right. So it was the late 60s, and then into the 70s, we had overpopulation. We had the Ice Age forming again. We had acid rain was going to completely defoliate, I remember, New England. All of the, there wouldn't be a tree left in New England because of acid rain. And there was a fourth one. I don't remember what the fourth one was. You mentioned it. But those ones I remember vividly, vividly. They were beating the drum on.
Yeah, I think it's been, AOC said about, what is it, about 4 years ago that within 12 years we were all going to be gone. So we only got like 8 years left.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyhow.
Pastor Ernie, they talk about the CO2 in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tomorrow they stop and there's no CO2 from humans going into the air. Then what happens, Pastor Ernie?
The trees will die.
No, they never tell you. Climate change, we've got to get the CO2 out of the air. All right, so we do it. Then how's the climate going to unchange?
Well, one of the things they're doing is...
Are they trying to say hurricanes will stop?
I don't know. I don't know. The whole climate change...
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a hoax. It's a money-making hoax. It's all about. It's a racket. It's a hoax to make money.
And for control.
Right.
It's for control.
Oh yeah. Well, that too. If you could, they want to use climate change to try to control the food supply also.
Everything. So, they want to control every aspect of your life is climate change. Climate change. Climate change. So they want to control vehicles. They want to control. Did you see, Pastor Ernie? Look, what Biden is attempting to do, and what Trudeau.
Yeah.
In Canada, they've limited the amount of beer you can drink in a week is 2 bottles of beer.
Yeah.
And Biden is trying. He originally said two bottles a day. And now they're going to be pushing it to 2 bottles a week. So I'm almost tempted, Pastor Ernie, to start drinking beer to break their blockade or whatever they plan on doing.
Well, they're just make sure it's not Bud Light.
No, I'll drink that non-alcohol beer.
O'Doul's.
No, I'm only kidding.
O'Doul's. O'Doul's, yeah.
There you go. There you go.
All right, O'Doul's. We call it smart beer, okay?
Yeah.
You know, they're in the prisons. The fellows refer to alcohol, to booze, they call as ignorant oil. That's how they refer to it, is when they got in on their ignorant oil, they got into trouble. Anyhow, you know what? Speaking of that, and Bud Light and that, Joshua Phillips from the Epoch Times. It's an interesting article here. It's the Exposing the Secret Rebranding of ESG, Environmental, Social, and Governance Policies. ESG is the gun being held to the head of big corporations, forcing them to adopt policies that often go against both profits and the interests of consumers. The system works heavily through investment firms, which use their control of money to award or punish companies based on how well they align with the New World globalist agenda. But the agenda is reaching the end of the road. The problem? Well, consumers, the people who buy the products, it looks like they don't really want environmental social governance policies. Well, look at Bud Light, for example. They lost, what was it, $20 billion or something in the end?
Oh, I lost count, Pastor Ernie. I think it was more than that. But, yeah, you don't hear it anymore. They don't tell you about the amount they lost, but it was enormous.
And then Target stores, Target lost a ton of money. Disney.
Yeah, that was like into $12 billion. Disney is hemorrhaging every day, big amounts.
Yeah, today they got hit real hard, Disney today, okay? So all the anti-woke boycotts are tearing into their profits. All this to send a message, push an agenda that people don't want and people won't buy your product. Stand against the values of your customers and they'll boycott you. This pushback is having a ripple effect on the market. Remember what happened with Coca-Cola? Coke came out and said that white people need to be trying to be less white. Okay, remember that? And so
yes,
what they
that
did.
That wasn't too long ago.
Yeah, well, guess what? A whole lot of people quit buying Coke. I had drank Coke. We quit buying Coke. And since I quit drinking Coke, John, I think I've become more white. Okay. Have you noticed that, Ron?
Yeah, that's odd because you should be getting more tanned in the summertime.
Yeah, and so, anyhow.
Pastor Ernie, the first successful boycott I remember, you remember when back, I don't know how many years ago now, many, many, many years ago, Kmart and Walmart used to be competing about the top stores there, and Kmart started to sell a line of pornography. Do you remember Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
And the people rose up against Kmart, and they went down just like Target did. And I remember their CEO coming on TV there and begging. They took the pornography out and begging the people to come back, and people never really came back, and Kmart crashed, and you don't hear of it today. It's gone.
I remember the Lawson stores. And when Tim and Beverly DeHay contacted me years ago, and because the Lawson stores here in our area, in the state of Ohio, started carrying, I think it was Hustler magazine, I believe it was, okay? And that was a really bad one. And they already had, but up until that time, they had not done that. Well, we picketed them, and pretty soon they were all gone. Okay, that again, Target. Target was the first ones that I know of to do to have the same sex bathrooms.
And they had Pastor Ernie. There was all sorts of I think lawsuits because women. Men came in there, and women were molested, and there was arrests made. You remember that with Target stores?
Yeah, these perverts were actually going in there and filming little girls going to the bathroom. Okay, they were going there, and they would film them with their phones, and several of them were caught doing that. Okay, but everybody I know stopped going to Target. They started, and I know Target got hit hard. Now here it says BlackRock abandoning the ESG, the environmental, social, and governing policies. You can see the death of ESG in the new policies of one of its former top advocates, BlackRock Investment. The company managed about $10 trillion in assets in 2021. That's equivalent to about 40% of the American GDP. They're expected to top $15 trillion in the next 5 years. They're abandoning ESG. Back in 2021, they voted to adopt 47% of the ESG proposals. This was a cut in half of the following year. And this year, they only approved 7% of the ESG proposals. So it looks like the woke movement is falling on hard times, huh?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, but their agenda has not. And I think they will bring out false flags. They will start wars. They are so deep and so far into their agenda, they're not going to roll over, Pastor Ernie, and say, well, you know, the people have risen up against us now, and we're going to have to stop our agenda. They're not. They're false flags. They're going to use, I think, war. I wouldn't be surprised next year if these, if we went to war with Russia. That's how evil these people are.
Well, you know what? What's going on with Tucker Carlson? Because they're saying that he has signed his own death warrant. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, I have an article posted on my blog. Let me get it. Tucker Carlson. Hang on. I know where it is. I just posted it before the show. Here's the headline. It says, Dead Man Walking. Russia's state TV host accuses Tucker Carlson of signing his own death warrant. And the reason for that is he wants to interview Putin. And this TV host, his name is Vladimir Soloyabov. I can't pronounce it. Anyways, he said that when Carlson says the truth and it's not censored, and he's going to ask all the right questions, that the deep state, he didn't use the word deep state, he said the American government cannot tolerate this, and they'll have to kill him to stop him.
Well, here, let me ask you, you know, when you talk about Putin and compare with it, because all we hear in the mainstream media is Putin, is how bad Putin is, this beast. But let me tell you, comparing Putin to their hero Biden, Putin is pro-life. Putin said abortion is wrong. It should be it should be eliminated. Biden is low-life and pro-death. Okay, Putin is anti-sodomite. In Russia, sodomy is against the law. It's a crime. Okay, and you go to jail for that. Okay, but Biden is pro-sodomite. He's as pro-sodomite as you can get. Putin is anti-pedophile and Russia, pedophilia is a crime. Is a crime. Biden and his people promote. They promote pedophilia. They're very pro pedophilia. Here in Russia, you won't find any drag queens. Okay, here Biden is so pro drag queen. He's even got Millie in Austin in the military promoting drag queens. In the military, Putin is the anti-Church of Satan. Biden is pro-Church of Satan. Putin is anti-climate change. And, of course, Biden is very pro-climate change. We're coming up to a break, and we will be back right after this, and I'll introduce a clip when we come back. Right after this. So don't go away. More to come. Here we go.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company.
Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.